Save big money on your next project. Now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from JELD-WEN. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on JELD-WEN windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
And that's why I believe in you, because that is the greatest purpose. It's to love. Honest, it sounds corny, whatever you want to say, I don't care. I love people because there is freedom and power in loving people.
Hello, all you positive heads out there. Thanks for tuning your beautiful brainwaves into another episode of the Positive Head Podcast, where we have the crazy belief that creating success and happiness is a daily conscious effort, which is why we provide you with a fresh serving of soul food for thought 5 days a week. I'm your host, Brandon Beecham, and each and every Wednesday, you can tune in to hear me interview a different consciousness changemaker that is out there working tirelessly to help catalyze change and expand awareness all across spaceship Earth. On the other 4 weekdays, you can tune in to myself and my co-host, Dalian, giving interpretations of our favorite thought-provoking quotes, sharing a bit of inspiring or mysterious news, taking questions from the audience, and digging into any other mind-expansive topics that will help keep your soul fed by tuning you in to positive vibrations on a regular basis. Also, this Positive Head Podcast is definitely a labor of love for Dalian and I, but make no mistake, it takes a lot of time, energy, and resources to produce 5 episodes each and every week for you, our listeners. So if you enjoy the Positive Head Podcast, it would be stellar and much appreciated if you showed us your support at PositiveHead.com by picking up one of our unique Positive Head bracelets. Of course, you would most certainly be helping yourself in the process, because it functions as much more than just another stylish accessory. And if you haven't ever seen one, they're really cool, simple little bracelets with our Flower of Life Sacred Geometry inspired logo. They're actually made out of recycled tires and metal, so our intention is, of course, to do something positive by giving new life to previously discarded goods. And as far as their functionality goes, they act as a daily reminder to help you focus on the positive aspects of your daily life. The concept was actually inspired by studies that you can read about on our website. But besides that, many people believe just wearing something with sacred geometry is empowering in and of itself, which you can also read about on our site. And of course, as the Buddha once famously said, what you think, you become. So we believe having something on your wrist that reminds you to keep a positive head, the same way a Fitbit reminds you to keep active, makes a whole lot of sense. Of course, we charge way less than Fitbit for helping you to manage your mental health, because we let you name your price for your positive head bracelet. The reason we do that is because our heartfelt intention is to spread the positivity at all costs, first and foremost. That is our primary aim. And we don't ever want money to stand in the way of somebody wearing one. So if money is super tight and you want to pay as low as our cost to get one, no problem. On the flip side, if you love our podcast and just hit the lotto and want to show us your support by paying $1 million for one, well, that won't hurt our feelings much either, I assure you. Lastly, we also recently added a unique new line of t-shirts that have what we call chemistry quotes written out on them that help to spread the positivity as well. So head over to PositiveHead.com, check out all our wares, pick something up to show us your support if you feel inclined to do so. All right, all you positive heads, welcome back to another episode of the Positive Head Podcast. I am your host with almost the most, Brandon Beecham. I have my co-host, Dalian the Alien, here, looking very alien-esque today, if I do say so myself. Hello.
Oh, do I look extra alien-y? Hi.
Hello. You're morphing.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Positive Head Podcast, where we love positivity and positive things, but if you happen to not be down with that program, that's fine too.
Well, actually, bring it. What? These, as you know, Dalian, my brother and I have been talking for decade now of why have we not ever done any sort of comedic skit type stuff, and especially with YouTube, coming online in the last decade or so. And we just love that sort of stuff. And Got talking about it yesterday, got thinking about it, and I was like, man, I really want that outlet. It's so much fun for me. You know, this is amazing and such a great way for me to express a big part of myself. But that's another part of myself that's not getting the expression that I'd love, and that's just like really over the top, ridiculous, silly stuff. So I got thinking yesterday, what about to promote Positive Head, doing a negative Ned character, sort of like my brother suggested, similar to the Saturday Night Live character a long time ago, Debbie Downer, doing something like that. So, you know, don't be a negative Ned, get some positive head. So you do these little skits, kind of like, it's kind of like the ultra spiritual guy, you know, in that vein. So that may be coming to a video near you, everyone. And I don't even remember how I got on that, what you said that made me think of it, but you said something.
Yeah, no, that was it, because I was actually, I didn't want to steal your thunder, and I actually wasn't sure that I wanted to mention negative Ned, but we, like you said, we have been talking about the idea lately. It was sort of in the back of my head there. And also these reviews, like, I mean, you know, when someone like this person, Liliana, right? Or Liana, who wrote us this review where they were like, at first, like, not sold, you know, I'm not buying it. Or really that whole, the whole idea, the whole concept that if you happen to be very cynical or just highly skeptical, if you're very critical of what we say, of course, you don't have to take anything we say as gospel, right? And we're always saying that. But yeah, I was just thinking, I mean, you know, we love positivity and everything here, but we're not like one dimensional, like, oh, you know, you mustn't. Oh, no, those words are so offensive to me. You know what I mean?
Not.
That's not how we are at all. So it's just like, in fact, we can be a little bit of the opposite. So, well, at times, but what you said actually is just a good reminder that there's all these dimensions to ourselves that we don't necessarily get into in the podcast.
Or
but,
everyone, you know, in general. Yeah, it's exactly. Like we all have different aspects of ourselves, and I think sort of making something comedic about someone who's just over the top, like a negative Ned, will be a great fun for me. I have so many great ideas with that. And then at the end, it's like, okay, don't be a negative Ned, get some positive head. So it's actually like a little promo for Positive Head and the forthcoming Positive Head reinvented site. So there's a lot in the works that we're planning, guys. So yeah, stay tuned.
Indeed, indeed.
So what do we got today? Let's see. You have a really, we have some cool story. You've been quite the bird watcher lately, and you wanted to share a little, a brief story regarding that, right?
Yeah, because I have, I am becoming sort of a bird watcher now. I'm becoming more and more fascinated just with birds in general, because they, of course, are around us all the time. But like we have, for example, here at the house, there's a little couple of birds that are adorable and set up a nest outside. They're actually perched right behind one of the speakers that you have in your little patio area. So I thought that was kind of cool. And then, of course, there's crows that are just seemingly all over our street. So I just love watching them. And I think they're so like mysterious and cool. And then earlier this morning, I was just watching, I got to watching random videos, Brandon, of herons catching like fish and swallowing their prey whole. They were just fascinating to me, though. Like,
see,
just,
see, yeah. He is a negative creep.
Oh, well, you can
just kidding, if, Dylan. Just
if,
kidding.
If something it that,
is,
that's
it
fine,
is a circle of life.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's kind of how I see it, right? So, I'm just fascinated by watching animals in their element, especially birds. So I end up watching a few clips of these birds. I even find a clip of a falcon dive bombing on a heron. So anyway, you would think that's random, but then I happen to go on a morning walk to get my cup of coffee. I've been living in this area for about a year and a half, walking to get a cup of coffee or going for a walk almost every day, Brandon. But just this morning, I was paying attention to the birds, noticing them a lot. That, you know, I watched these videos, and then I noticed at one point a sparrow, like right at my feet, fluttering about because it had just swooped in trying to catch a butterfly. So here I'm watching birds hunting online, of course. And then only a few minutes later, I happen to see a bird right at my feet, a tiny bird, a sparrow, like I said, you know, just some ordinary little bird that was sort of dancing there with a butterfly. I startled him because I walked in on him, essentially.
And so
I just stopped. Yeah, I just stopped in my tracks for a second. And then he went again and grabbed the thing and flew off. And I was just like, oh, wow, that's so cool.
So you got to see, but, you went from watching him online, took a walk, and then you got to observe the same exact sort of thing happening in live and direct.
Yes, but to me, it was a little significant because it was a little bit of a bird synchronicity, as I refer to it. But it's just another sign that if you start focusing on something like that, then you will just attract this
where
energy,
attention
right?
goes, energy flows. And yeah, I think that's a big thing is like once you start paying attention to to anything, all of a sudden you see more of it that's happening and you co-create more of it, I would say. Mm-hmm. And so it's, yeah, because you'll hear that argument sometimes like, oh, well, there's not synchronicity. It's just you're paying attention to this or that. And it's like, nah, I think there's some validity in at some level to that. That statement in a way, but it's just one piece of the puzzle because yes, you are going to notice more of the red, you know, BMW because you just got one or whatever it is. And it's certainly the case, but there's the other part of the equation is you're creating more of what you're seeing as well. And certainly with synchronicities, a lot of times that can be demonstrated in very dramatic fashion where it's not just like seeing the red car next to you. It's
exactly.
Like, four of them park in your driveway.
Yeah, exactly. Because if you start going down that rabbit hole, as you well know, Brandon, things can get pretty weird, magical, and just amazing. Like jaw-dropping. Yep, like some of the stories we've been sharing recently.
Yeah. So moving right along, Dalian, you have a news story that was really cool that I was you kind of shared with me. Tell us about that.
I happen to have found this through the EWAO website, Brandon, but I think the original news was reported on Quartz.com, QZ.com, and it's regarding Germany's energy output, its green energy output, which hit like an all-time high on Sunday, May 8th, Brandon. And this is the sort of story that, yeah, like we both saw it and we're like, this is the kind of stuff that we need to hear more of in the news. Germany's green energy output on that day became so high that prices for this green energy that's generated, that's essentially electricity, right, on the consumer's end. Mm-hmm. But it became free. It became negative. They were paying people to use this green energy.
That's incredible.
Yeah. It was, I'll read you real quick from the article. On Sunday, May 8th, Germany hit a new high in renewable energy generation. Thanks to a sunny and windy day, at one point around 1 p.m., the country's solar, wind, hydro, and biomass plants were supplying about 55 gigawatts, or GW, large GW, I'm sure that's what it means, of the 63 gigawatts being consumed, or 87%. Power prices actually went negative for several hours, meaning commercial customers were being paid to consume electricity. So, yeah, it just goes on from there. But, it's been steadily increasing. And Germany, as the article explains, is what, like the fourth, fifth biggest economy in the world?
Wow, that's a major industrial story. I mean, energy and surplus created naturally is happening in the fourth, fifth biggest economy in the world. Like, we are here. We're arriving. Like, what a great example the Germans are setting. Like, makes me very happy that I have some level of German ancestry in my
or that I have relatives in Germany.
Me. That's my people and everyone else in Europe. But hey, okay, who's counting?
They're such hardworking people. Yeah, so responsible,
so smart. Right. what a great example for the world to be doing that. And I anticipate we'll hear more and more of this. And hopefully, here in the U.S., we don't just fall behind and continue with. You know, I imagine we're going to just see, you know, this more and more. I mean, I imagine 10, 20 years from now, it's like the whole world is getting energy in this way. I hope it's quicker than that. I guess we'll see. Anything's possible, right? Time and space is an illusion. What version of reality do you intend to step into? I intend to step into one where renewable energy is happening in abundance sooner than later.
Yes. And in order for that to happen, I suppose that we will have to be seeing and reading and reporting on these stories because I think they help create that reality.
Well, yeah, you're putting it out there that this is right now just through the show. We're reporting on this story. Now thousands of other people are going to hear this story. It's now resonating in their collective consciousness as a thing that is happening. And just like looking at the BMW, right? Just like looking at the birds, you're going to now see and hear more of it because where attention goes, energy flows. So we're literally co-creating it together just by talking about it, just by drumming up the energy with, you know, everyone that's participating in this this little story on this little show. So thank you guys for helping to heal the planet.
Absolutely.
All right, everyone, shifting gears here, we have the stellar Sue Krebs back on the show. Hello, Sue.
Hi,
welcome,
Brandon.
Welcome, welcome. This is the positive pondering breakdown of the day. Hit us, Sue.
All right. Okay, so the quote that I'm working with today is by Abraham Hicks, the metaphysical teachers, and it is, "You are so free that you can choose bondage. You are free." And my thoughts on that were this. For many of us, claiming personal power in our lives feels like a double-edged sword. We want to express our wants and needs. We want to move in the direction of fulfilling them. But if you've been a people pleaser all of your life, taking that step may feel like it requires stepping on someone else's wants, needs, and emotions. Those with whom we've built relationships often subtly demand that we subvert our power by taking care of their needs. And anything we do to shift that balance is going to be met with resistance, anger, and possibly outright hostility. We've been programmed to put others' needs first, to consider their feelings above our own, and to do anything else is considered to be selfish, disloyal, and betraying. We've allowed our sense of well-being to be determined by the emotional climate around us. And those with whom we are closest have come to depend on us for their emotional stability. Erroneously, we've assumed responsibility for their feelings. If you're anything like most of us people pleasers, you'll reach a point in your life where you just can't stomach this kind of personal betrayal any longer. You'll no longer be willing to dismiss your own peace of mind in an attempt to maintain the peace in your environment. Hopefully, you'll begin to acknowledge that we're actually doing a disservice to those around us by assuming responsibility for their pain. They'll never grow themselves if we continue to remove the impetus for their personal growth. These bonds of emotional responsibility weigh heavy over time. It's okay to choose to finally set them down. It's okay to choose to reclaim your personal power. It's okay to let others own their choices, emotions, and behaviors, and the consequences of those choices. It's not only okay, it's paramount. Integral to the human experience is our ability to choose. Free will allows us to choose not only our actions, but our thoughts and beliefs as well. This ability to choose even allows us to choose bonds that tie us to another or that limit our belief that we even have choices. We always have choices. As the spiritual teacher Abraham Hicks explains, we are so free that we can even choose bondage. Having reached this precipice in my life, I can now see the value in allowing others to manage and navigate their own emotional world. I no longer need to mitigate their pain in order to feel peaceful. I understand the power that pain can provide in motivating us to change our thoughts, beliefs, and behaviors. I now believe that it's really not helpful to assume responsibility for anyone's emotional well-being but my own. I have come to realize that I truly am free. I've been free to choose all along. Only now, I choose to be free.
Wonderful, wonderful. As always, Stellar Sue. Yeah, this is a powerful piece to discuss that you've shared here today. And it's, of course, synchronistically one that I was talking with someone about, a friend, last night. You know, 12 hours ago, I was having this exact conversation, having not even read this, breakdown that you have here. I heard it as you read it. And it's one that I think we all, especially with family, where you have these sort of emotional, families and relationships, lovers, romantic relationships. This seems to be where this emotional entanglement happens, where it becomes, this sort of obligation and guilt to perform in a certain way or to, provide for emotionally, financially, every way you can think of. And it seems to develop everyone. It seems like this is almost like a staple with humanity. We all have these certain things that we all have to kind of go through. We all have our own unique paths, but then there's sort of staples for almost everyone. And I think this is one with almost anyone I talk to where they get, what about my kids? I have to provide for them, or my girlfriend or my boyfriend or my husband or my wife or my, mother or my father. And it can turn into just this unhealthy thing where you're trying to kind of do the work for them. You're trying to, you know, you can lead a horse to water. A lot of times with, take myself, it's something that I've had to really learn the hard way, is being so passionate to talk about these sort of concepts of self-growth and removing yourself from bondage and understanding your, you know, one with source and higher self and all these things. And, you know, I've had many experiences where I'm trying to talk to this about, let's say, my parents, who, you know, my father, love him to death, but this very conservative Christian, you know, this sort of mentality from the late 1800s or something, you know. And it's like, I finally had to learn after many late night debates that there's no, you can't force this person to see it your way because they want to see it their way. Their ego is invested in this case, or you know, in his case, it's like, it's very much like his whole world, his whole identity shatters, and I'm not ready to shatter my identity. Or, you know, talking to an interview that is yet to be released, that is fascinating. Richard Gordon, I just recorded, and I'll share a little snippet. He talked about doing a quantum healing on someone who's like very skeptical. And then afterwards, he's like, but if I believe, the guy was like, okay, but if I believe you, everything that I believe scientifically is out the window.
Yeah.
And Richard's like, well, yeah, I suppose so. He goes, well, I'm not ready for that. And the guy walked away.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're not responsible for anyone but yourself. You are responsible for your own growth. And if anyone listening, you can really be honest with yourself and look at, do you feel obligated to fix someone? Do you feel obligated to, you know, provide, you know, beyond and save them from pain? You know, why are you trying to save someone from something that their soul has set up to experience? You know, and that's a huge one too. It's like we think we have to be saviors, and, you know, people pleasers definitely think we have to be saviors, and we don't. We're here to get no one right but ourselves. And you can certainly, it doesn't mean you can't help others, but you need that healthy separation. And if you see them going down a destructive path, or I take my son who's 17 and, you know, first relationships in the last year or two, and the one he's in now is particularly like toxic, you know, it's just this back and forth, you know, the girl definitely has, you know, emotional issues and issues at home and things like that. And it's this very unhealthy sort of thing that's taking a lot of his energy. And I had to at some point say, you know what, I cannot fix it. I have to just allow him to learn and grow from this. And that's hard, but I understand the bigger picture he's going to come out of that with new skills, with new perception that's going to make his next experience much more fulfilled, right? Because he's had that context.
Right.
So we sort of need to learn to let go of trying to be the fixer.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I mean, and I use the term people pleaser in here because I think it's a little broader understanding. But add to that either the highly sensitive or empathetic kind of, you know, persons who are empaths, that adds a whole nother layer of feeling somebody else's emotional distress. And, you know, I grew up, I don't know if I'm an empath, or there's arguments that there's very few true empaths, but so at the very least, I'm highly sensitive to that energy. And I grew up trying to keep the peace in the family, right? You know, because I was so aware of everybody else's emotional state that I would be agitated if anybody else was agitated. And I didn't know then that it wasn't mine, that what I was feeling wasn't me, it was them. And when we feel things, we think, okay, well, if I don't feel good, I got to make, you know, how do I make it better? And we often make it better by making sure everybody around us is okay. And so we just sort of segue right into this emotional responsibility for everybody else. And man, that's a dead end street. It's not going where we want it to.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is definitely a big, big lesson for everyone. And I'm sure almost everyone can relate to this in some way, shape or form. you know, feeling. And like you say, some people are more empathetic than others, you know. So for some people, this really hits home, and it's, you know, and I could even go so far as to say you're not doing anyone any favors by trying to force them to see, you know, to fix them or you know, then you get into all kinds of codependency issues, which right. I've dealt with as well, you know, and that happens a lot in family or relationships. And who's being helped in that? No one. Everyone is being disempowered. The person facilitating the codependency, you're disempowering yourself. The person being codependent, you know, codependently sort of held up, let's say, you're disempowering them. They're not, you know, you're it's sort of like facilitating the drug addict, or you know what I mean? And it's different. It's not the exact same, but it really has a similar kind of effect.
Yeah, it's ineffective for what you're trying to achieve. I mean, ultimately, we do it to help, right? You know, when our loved ones are in pain, we want them to feel better. But sometimes removing the source of the pain doesn't actually fix the issue. You know, it's the Band-Aid. And,
right.
You know, people have those experiences, hopefully, I think, to propel them into a change, into, you know, insight or understanding or change or whatever it is, so that they don't recreate that. But, you know, again, good intentions, we want to help, but you have to look at, is this really actually achieving that? And more often than not, the answer is no.
Yeah.
And then it leaves the person who's doing this helping, it leaves them feeling trapped. Like I have, you know, that you mentioned the word obligatory, you know, that obligation, that sense of duty, then tied to that is the guilt. You know, if I don't do this, I have to do this. People, you don't have to do anything. You know, right. That's the reality. And we're not taught that because people want us to do this shit for them. They want us to take that on because then they don't have to. Right? Somebody else will come along and make this go away, and I can keep doing what I do.
Yep. Yep. It happens, you know, almost it's like my brother says it a lot of times, it's human psychology. If you as soon as you give someone an inch, it's like, it just seems like they can't help themselves, but sort of take a mile and it becomes very easy for people to take it for granted and sort of get a twisted perspective on, you know, what you are indeed doing.
And
we've all seen this sort of thing.
They, you know, they need you to do that. You need to do it because now you've created an identity that is dependent on feeling needed. You know, it, oh my gosh. I mean, I get it. I get it because I've been there, right? You know, we do this because we think it's going to make something better. And that bigger picture, that down the road ramifications, oh my gosh, it doesn't do what we want it to do. So,
yeah. Yep, it is. It's a great, great lesson, and this is a great, great topic, Sue, to bring to the show. I appreciate you, as always, so much for sharing your wisdom and insight, and look forward to the next time we get to mix it up like this.
I love it. It's always fun. Thank you so much for the opportunity to play.
Yeah, always. Thank you, Sue.
Thanks.
Well, Dalian, looks like we're getting down to it for today. What do we got queued up in ways of some musical stylings?
Well, my pick for today, Brenny, is a song by a French electronic artist, Telepop Music, with a K at the end.
Ah, yeah, I remember them. That's been around a while.
Yeah. And I think this is one of their better known songs, but it's one that I particularly love for sure, called Don't Look Back. It features this singer with a great, wonderful, unique voice, Angela McCluskey.
Ah, hope you all enjoy. And before we check out the musical tastings for today, I would like to add, this podcast is definitely a labor of love for Dalian and I. So if you have enjoyed this positive download from our hearts and minds to yours, please take a minute, give us a rating or review on iTunes. Since iTunes is the holy grail of all things podcasting, your good reviews help us to reach more listeners. Also, we would be extremely appreciative if you would tell your friends and family about the show. Our sincere intent with the Positive Head podcast is to spread positivity to the world because we're selfish, quite honestly. I say that jokingly, but really only halfway joking. I'm referring to the good kind of selfish based on the knowing that we all get what we give in this life, because when we give, we're actually always giving to extensions of self, since we're all really one in the same consciousness, just in different bodies. So if you want to be a good selfish along with us by helping to spread the positivity, by all means, please proceed to shout about the Positive Head podcast from your rooftop. Otherwise, as you continue on your fabulous journey in this 3D reality, be sure to remember this. As long as you ain't dead, you're already positive ahead. Journey well, everyone, and thank you for being.
Sit still and close your eyes. What's behind the other door? Oh, no more silence. Don't kill this thing we got called love. Just searching for the perfect job. It's nothing special, just a sound.